Today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do part three of a two-part series. And yeah, you can chuckle, at least you caught on to it and stuff. And the reason that some of them aren't here goes right along with the message. And you may know that I've been doing a two-part series, and when it's been really spread out. It was a two-part message, and the first part of the message was love God, love people. And it all stems from, we took a survey that talked about our greatest needs. And one of our greatest needs was spiritual disciplines. And we're working on that. And our spiritual disciplines are learning to love God. And then the next greatest need we had was servant leadership development. Go ahead and fire the next one, Douglas. And so the message that I preached on that one was from Matthew, and that is to reach the world. And what I've done is taken the great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then you add to that the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world. And I preached the message on reach the world and talked about how we as a church, as Richmond Community Church, need to reach out. And I gave some of you a chance to share it here. And you may remember a couple of people stood up and shared. And I've had discussions with those people and discussions with other people. And in my heart, I'm just saying, there's got to be more. And so part two wasn't it. I came up with a part three. And part three, Douglas, go ahead, is Beyond the Walls. And the title of the message today is Beyond the Walls. And so just with the discussions I've had and the things that have gone on, somehow there had to be more. And so the message today is titled Beyond the Walls. And the text is in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But Stan is a man who is out of work. He's a cabinet maker. His company mishandled the funds a little bit, and they had to close down, so now he has no job. He and his wife, they had 2 months of savings that they had done. It's all gone. They didn't spend it frivolously on things out there, but on the bills that need to be paid. Last night, they cooked up the last of their noodles and their sauce. There literally is no more food in their house. He gets unemployment check, and the unemployment check just barely covers all the bills. It doesn't cover the food or the clothing. So what are they going to do? And then there's Jenny. Jenny is poor, but you wouldn't know that by looking at her. Or the material things that she has, like many poor people in America. She drives a car. She has an apartment. She talks on a cell phone. She actually owns 2 televisions. She has all the basic things that we need here in America. She gets her clothes from Salvation Army or from Goodwill. When you look at her, you don't think homeless. And yet she has needs. She needs her cell phone so she can communicate with friends and with family and with her work. She needs her car so she can travel around. She needs her apartment so that she has a safe, dry, warm place to stay. She needs to have her cable on so she can keep abreast of the news in our country and here in our city. And after paying all these needs, she has nothing left for food. So what is she going to do? Speaking of the poor in America, being poor is hoping that your toothache just magically goes away. Being poor is knowing that your kid goes over to friends' houses but never has friends come over to your house. Being poor is coming back to the car and seeing the kids clutching that box of Raisin Bran and trying to tell them that somehow that box has to last. Being poor is a heater in only one room of your house. Being poor is hoping that you will get invited to dinner somewhere because that may be the only way you get to eat tonight. Being poor is $6 short on a utility bill and knowing there is no way you can cover that gap. Being poor is picking the 10-cent ramen instead of the 12-cent ramen because that's 2 extra packages for every dollar. Being poor is staying with a man who continually beats your kids because you can't afford to keep them out of foster care without his salary. Being poor is scrambling under the car seat for the change so that you can buy two Happy Meals for four people. And every one of you are excited when you actually come up with the correct amount. Being poor is discovering that you got a letter from Duke University that is inviting you to test out of high school early on a full ride scholarship. And then realizing you can't go because it costs $300 for the test. Last one for you. Being poor is avoiding spending time with people that you care very much about because you don't want to have to answer the question, how are you doing? Let's continue. See, Bob, he has just walked into our church for the very first time. He and his family have just moved into the Portland area. He's with the Air National Guard, and he works down at the Portland Airport with the 142nd Fighter Wing. He has a wife and 2.5 kids, one on the way, and he has a dog. Bob and his family are looking for a church that they can connect with because right now they feel quite alone. They want their kids' souls well taken care of as well as their own. They are alone, and they desperately are trying to connect with fellow Christians. They walk into our church. How are they going to meet people? How will they get to know if this is the church family for them? And then there's Ida. Ida's a widow. Her husband passed away about 3 years ago. She still lives in the house that they lived in for the 45 years that they were married. But now different things on the inside and the outside of the house need to have work done on it. The tree, it's overgrown. There's a shed in the back that has to be painted. There's different work on the inside of the house that needs to be taken care of. The neighbors have actually complained about her bushes and how overgrown they are. The city actually sent her a letter telling her she has to fix her fence. Now, Ida, she can't fix her fence or paint her barn, the shed that she has, or trim all those trees. She's certainly on her fixed income. She cannot afford to pay somebody to take care of that for her. So what is she going to do? You see, there are many people like Stan and Jenny and Bob and Ida. They're all over our city with similar situations and struggles and needs. You see, they exist beyond the walls of this church. Some of them actually exist on the inside of this church. And you may be thinking of some of them. I am, and I have been. See, after describing each one of those situations, I asked the question, what were they going to do? But you know what? That's the wrong question that we should be asking. The correct question is, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? I hope that you have a desire. Go ahead, Douglas, next line up there. I hope that you have a desire to be a caring person and someone that lives out the same kind of love that Jesus Christ modeled for us. See, the scripture text we have today, which Douglas will throw up there in just a minute, is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And there are three words that I want you to focus on. And I've highlighted them as much as I can up there. And I'll try to highlight them as I say them to you. So follow along with me as I read this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The three words are love, pity, and action. And I want to focus on those today in order. When you hear the word love, what are you thinking of? How would you define love? How would you describe love? I'd like for you to answer. At least some of you. Anybody? I define love by letting Lisa have the remote control to the television and watching whatever she wants.
Caring for someone else as much as you care for yourself.
Okay.
Letting Betty sleep in when Bill gets up early and wants breakfast. I fix it for him.
Okay. The question was, where is Lisa? Well, love is getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and driving Lisa to the airport on Friday so she can go down to a class reunion and spend the weekend with her classmates. So that's where she's at, Osborne. That's love. I got up at 4. Not only that, I had to get Bri up at 4, and AJ's son, because he stays with us sometimes, and take him to the airport and bring him back. Now, that's love when you got to break up a kid at that early. But, you know, okay, I'm way off subject now. I told him on Friday, on Thursday night, I said, we got to get up early to take Auntie Lisa to the airport. And he kind of, okay, when we woke him up on Friday morning, he woke up. Had no problem with it. Now, he wasn't wide awake and cheery, but he got up and we got him in the car. No problem. So that's love, is waking up early to take Lisa there. Anybody else? What is love? How would you define love? With all of James's wife's problems, I don't need this. She takes care of him. Okay. I got this one. The food, the laundry, all those other things. Even with all that going on, she puts herself aside and takes care of you doing that kind of stuff. Yeah.
All of my issues, John working full time and being a single dad, it seems sometimes
okay.
Still a little bit.
All right. Throughout the message, I will give you time to share. And I want this to be almost more of an open dialogue at times than me just standing up here sharing to you and talking to you. So I like the dialogue. So Karen said, even with all of her stuff, with John taking care of the kids, that sometimes almost being a single dad, because it really does, it does knock her out of the scene and knock her out of things. So, yeah. Anyone else?
2 weeks ago, the outpouring of support that Ann and I received when the kids moved out, on Facebook here at the church. But it was, although for other friends, but the church family and the love that was shown there, just being there for people you care about when that's what they need, is that supportive word or that hug or that prayer. That's a big part of love.
All right. Douglas, go and fire the next one up there. Love for the Christian is a love that centers on Jesus Christ. You see, He is our model. He is our standard. He is human perfection. He is God on earth. Therefore, we must look to what Jesus did when it comes to love for us to be able to understand love. See, John said that Jesus laid down His life for us. You see, that's love. He emptied Himself, and He became a human being so that He could save us. See, Jesus laid aside heaven and the comfort of glory. Jesus laid aside all that He was to become human. Jesus laid aside His own will, and He followed God all the way to the cross. Jesus laid aside that human life on purpose. All for us. All for you, and all for me. He would have done it for each one of us individually. You see, it's that continual laying aside that John calls love. Love is laying aside your comfort for the benefit of someone else. Love is laying aside what you want and following God's will and desires for your life. Love is laying aside yourself on purpose and putting someone else first. There's a story of a young girl who desperately needed a blood transfusion. She had a very, very rare blood type. Her brother had the exact same blood type as her. Not only that, a couple years earlier, he had the same disease, the same thing going on, and he recovered from it. That made the chances of her success better and greater. So the doctor went, and he carefully explained all of this to the little boy. His name was Johnny. Pointing out to Johnny that without this transfusion, his sister was going to die. Would you be brave and give your blood to your sister? The doctor asked Johnny. Johnny hesitated, and his lower lip began to quiver. I can't do it, so I just have to point it out. Then he smiled, and he said, "Sure, for my sister." The two children were then wheeled into the hospital room. Mary was pale and thin, and Johnny was robust and healthy. He smiled at his sister, and he watched as the blood left his arm into the clear tube and went down, traveled out of his body. Johnny's smile faded, and he lay there, and he began to get a little bit weak. He looked up at the doctor, and he said, "Doctor, when do I die?" See, Johnny thought that giving his blood to his sister meant he was going to lose all of his. He didn't understand the transfusion part of it. But you see, because of his great love for his sister, he was prepared to lay down his life, to pay the price, set his life aside for hers. That is true God-given love. How do we know? Because Johnny was willing to set himself aside. See, our first step towards caring for others must be that we have the same kind of love that Christ showed, which lays aside ourselves and puts others first. The next word that we want to look at, and we want to try to define and get a definition for, is pity. And the kids are back there drawing pictures, and they have things that they can do with them. Pity. How would you define pity? How do you explain pity? Harder than love, isn't it? This is going to be fun.
Feel sorry for somebody.
You feel sorry for somebody, yeah.
Pity is when you can't do anything for anybody else, or you won't do anything for anybody else.
Okay.
But you either feel sorry for them or you look down upon them because of their situation.
Okay.
It's empathy. It's feeling someone else's pain with them, sharing their pain, carrying the burden with them.
Okay. Anyone else? How do you describe pity? How would you explain pity? To me, it's not on there. But for me, I would kind of explain it this way. Those of you who were here last week when I showed the video for Father's Day, and the video showed all those kids who were growing up without fathers, fatherless children, and all the results and all the statistics that it had there. And then Andrew is sitting over here and he starts crying. See, that's pity. That is compassion. That's empathy. You can go on and on however you want to explain it. But he had so much pity for what he watched that it moved him to tears. See, John in verse 17 that we read, and I'll do it in the Amplified Bible, says this: "But if anyone has the world's goods," you know, the things for sustaining life, "and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God remain in that person?" See, he's defining for us what pity is. Pity is the turn in your stomach when you see a homeless child. Pity is the hurt in your heart when you see a family who has just lost their house and everything they own to a fire or to a flood. Pity is that sick feeling that you ignore when you walk out of McDonald's and there's somebody who's sitting there who desperately needs a hamburger. Pity is feeling deeply for someone in the bowels of who you are, to the very core of your existence. See, John asks the correct question, that if you shut your heart out towards others, how can the love of God be in you? William McKinley had just become president, and he had to come up with somebody to be an ambassador to a foreign country. And there were two people that he was considering. They were both equally qualified. He's trying to figure out which one to select. And he remembered back to a time when he was a congressman. It was later in the day, and he was getting ready to go home. And so he got on the streetcar. And he sits down in the streetcar. And he gets the very last seat. And as the streetcar pulls up to the next stop, a lady gets on, an elderly lady. She's carrying a heavy basket. And she looks, and there are no seats available. So she walks the length of the streetcar, and there are no seats. Finally, she stops, and she's standing there. And as the streetcar continues to move down the thing, she's swaying back and forth, struggling to keep her balance. Well, there's this gentleman who's sitting here, and he has his newspaper, And he takes his newspaper and he adjusts it ever so slightly just to make it seem like he had not seen that lady struggling. Well, McKinley, who's at the other end of the car, he sees that. And he gets up and he walks over there and he graciously takes the basket from the lady and says, "You can have my seat." The man sitting there had no idea that anyone was watching him. Had no idea that somebody had seen what he had done. He had closed his heart of compassion to that lady. Later on, after McKinley became president, that man, because of that one action, may have passed up the opportunity of a lifetime. Because he was one of the ones that McKinley was thinking about. McKinley chose the other man because of that one action. That man had no pity. He had closed his heart. One cold winter's day, a 10-year-old boy is standing and he barefoot in the front of a store and he's peering in, shivering with cold. A lady approaches and asks the young man, the little boy, "What are you doing?" "I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes," the boy replied. The lady took him by the hand and she walks into the store. And she says to the clerk, "Can you get me a half dozen pair of socks? And can I get some warm water in a basin and a towel?" The clerk gets her the warm water and the towel, and the lady takes the little boy toward the back of the store, where she gently washes his feet and begins to dry him. By that time, the clerk shows up, and he's got these half dozen pair of socks. The lady puts one pair on him, and she ties the other pairs together. Then she goes in, and she buys this boy a pair of shoes, and she puts them on his feet. And she says, "Undoubtedly, you feel much better now." As she turned to go, the astonished little lad kind of caught her by the hand, and looking up into her face with tears in his eyes, he answered the question with these words, "Are you God's wife? Do you see the difference? Can you feel the difference? You see, the Apostle John is defining for us what it means to care for others. It begins with Christ-like love. But it has to be more than that, because Jesus Christ was more than that. You see, Jesus taught us about pity in the parable of the unforgiving servant, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus lived out pity by exorcising demons, by cleansing 10 lepers. Wherever he traveled, we hear about miracles that he performed of giving people their sight back, healing people who were deaf, people who couldn't walk. For me, one of the crowning moments is when Jesus arrives on the scene and Lazarus has passed away and Mary and Martha are there crying, they're weeping, they're wailing, friends have gathered around, they're all crying, and Jesus arrives on the scene and he loves them. And he has compassion for them. He has pity for them. Scripture tells us he wept. Our second step toward caring for others is that you have to feel love and concern and compassion about others to the very core of your being and allow it to affect your heart. And once you do, that moves you on to the third step. And if you know the story about Jesus and Lazarus, you know that Jesus, after he wept, he was so moved with compassion, he told them to roll the stone away. And he put his compassion into action, and he called Lazarus out of the tomb. A man was trying to get financial help for a widow who was in dire need. But all of his efforts were meeting with very little success. Even so, he continued. He tried and tried and tried. The concerned man, refusing to give up, had high hopes as he remembered a wealthy acquaintance of his. He approached the man, but that man too refused to help. In declining the request, the rich man said, "I do want you to know, however, that I really feel very sorry for this lady and her situation." Now, the man who was asking for the money said, "I'm sure you do, but I'm afraid you don't feel it in the right place." Yes, I do, the rich man replied. I feel it very deeply in my heart. To which the other guy responded, that's the problem. You feel it in the wrong place. I wish you had those feelings in your pocket. See, as we've talked about, caring for others begins with love. That lays aside ourselves and our feelings. And we begin to feel what the other person is going through. And Julie said it so well earlier. But somehow actions must follow. Verse 18 reads like this. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You see, you can't just talk about caring for people. You can't just say that you love others. Let's bring it home. Richmond Community Church, we cannot keep saying that we want to reach our neighborhood. We cannot keep talking about how we're in this community to serve this community. The community doesn't even know we exist. Somehow, we have to put this into action. You'll get a couple words in a couple moments here. Remember those situations I brought up earlier? Remember Stan? He's a man who's out of work, a cabinet maker. He needs food and clothing. What are we going to do? Remember Jenny? She's poor. After all of her needs are met, she doesn't have enough money for food. What are we going to do? Bob and his family, they just moved into the neighborhood. They want to know if this is the church for them. What are we going to do? Ida, the widow. She can't fix fences or trim the trees. She can't afford to pay anybody to do it. What are we going to do? I know that sounded like a rhetorical question, but it wasn't. What are we going to do? Are those real people? Well, they could be. When I talk about Ida, I could talk about Gertrude. She no longer lives there, but I don't know if any of you have ever been to her house. She had a lot of stuff that needed to be done. How many of us knew it? Be honest with you, I didn't know how bad the inside of her house was until after she moved out. I'd been to the outside. Every year I would go and trim some vines back for her and trim some bushes back. Holly's the worst thing in the world, I tell you. She needed more help than I ever gave her. We have poor people all over the place, all around us. What are we going to do? I know it's uncomfortable squirming there. What are we going to do? I'll give you a chance to respond in a couple minutes if you want. You can keep thinking about it. Dougley, let's go on, Douglas. God needs you to work beyond the walls of this church with Christ-like love. God needs you, He needs us, to work beyond the walls with heartfelt pity for others. God needs you to stop talking about what you could do, and as Nike so eloquently put it, just do it. So what are we going to do? Aaron, can you bring the kids up here with your stuff? She's back there with the kids. Barb was going to do this and had this whole thing all worked out. This is awesome. She had this whole thing worked out. I've been talking with her and talking with others. And the kids were going to go out and they were going to collect garbage in the neighborhood. And she sends me a text at 7 o'clock this morning. We're at 12 already. At 7 o'clock this morning, it says, Amy's in the hospital. I will not be there today. Actually, she said Amy and Rich, so they were both there. And then she said, but I've spoken with Aaron. Aaron might do it or not. But Aaron went ahead and took the kids, the younger ones. And they went out and they walked around the neighborhood kind of at the end of Sunday school in the beginning of class. And they collected some stuff, some garbage. Now, I'm not talking to anybody, but they collected garbage. Here's what they've got. I'm missing one thing. Yeah, that's like the crowning glory of it all. They just went around. They didn't knock on doors, they didn't do anything. They just went up and down some of the streets and they collected some of the garbage. Not a great big thing, and they collected this. Mark, any idea? They found it outside, nobody else was around. And so they brought it because they knew that I would know what to do with it. I haven't a clue. Hey, Mark, could you hang on to it and see if somebody at Heartwork comes through and says, hey, I'm missing a backpack, and then see if we can find it. He's the man that will help to take care of that for us. We can put it in the office. See, it may not seem like a lot, but what they did was they went around and they picked up some stuff. Maybe the neighbors are sitting there and watch these kids as they're doing this. Now, I'll tell you what I've done. I feel very strongly that somehow as a church, we have to do more. We have to reach beyond these walls. And what I've done this past week is I've gone throughout the neighborhood, mostly just over here, and I've knocked on doors. And I've introduced myself to people and told them that I was with the church here, and they shut the door right in my face. No, they don't. They're all really, really nice. And I told them, we as a church would like to do something for you. I don't know what. If you have anything that needs to be done, mow your yard, I don't care what it is. I gave, on the back of a card, we have church cards. On the back of the card, I put my email address and my personal cell phone number. If you have anything that needs to be done, give us a call. And I told them that on July 22nd, the fourth Sunday of next month, we're going to have a service day. And Mike made a little bit of mention about it. What we're going to do for the next three Sundays is where I'm working at. July 22nd, August 26th, and September 23rd, the fourth Sunday, we're going to have a service day. Now, what does it include? I don't really know yet. Like I said, I've gone to the neighborhood, and I've knocked on doors, and I've talked with people. I've actually gone over to the school, and I've told the school, this is what we're wanting to do. And I'm working with the school to see what we can do. I've spoken with Rite Aid. You see that great big wall that we have right there? Wouldn't it be awesome to paint a mural on it? You know, we have somebody who lives in the neighborhood who's an art major and is getting ready to graduate and wants to go on and do art therapy. Now, I have no idea what art therapy is, but it sounds really cool. And maybe working with Rite Aid and working with that person who lives in the neighborhood, and maybe even some of our own kids or other people, we can do a beautiful mural there. I've been talking with someone about us as a congregation on those service days to pack up lunches, sack lunches with food in it and water in it and some things. And then some people, catch this, going down through the Hawthorne District and on 82nd and passing out lunches. We have to do something. I don't know what everything is that we have to do, but somehow as a church, we have to stop talking about how we're going to reach this community, how we're in this community. We have to start living beyond these walls. So the fourth Sunday of the next 3 months, we're going to do that. And I'm still trying to put it together. If you have ideas, I am more than willing to listen to them and try to work with them. I checked on Meals for Wheels. Mostly they do it Monday through Friday. But I heard of somebody who says they do that on Sundays. Their church actually goes out on Sundays and delivers meals on wheels. And maybe we can get something like that going. And I know for some of you, it's a stretch, and some of you maybe, oh, that's where you get to share right now. What is running through your mind? What are you thinking? Besides Val, you're totally crazy. Which is okay if you're thinking that too. You all did an excellent job. Yeah. You are what the church needs to be about in doing that. Now, not only, and some of this was planned, some of this is unplanned, not only did they go out today, but we have some of our young men who aren't here, and you may look around and you may know who they are and realize that they're not here. They are today, they're actually helping a lady to move. A lady needed help moving, so several of them got together, and they are helping her to move. Kirsten, I didn't know this until today, and Julie, maybe you can help out a little bit with this. Kirsten is teaching soccer. From what I could hear. Okay, go ahead and share a little bit of that.
She is with a group with the InterVarsity, which has to do with the Bible study group she did it at Oregon State. But they're doing a thing called Summit, where they're living in a church, a Quaker church down on Dirt Bible College. And they're going out doing service projects. They have worked with the homeless. They have they're doing the Sun program, which works with the homeless and underdeveloped kids. Mm-hmm. And so she's teaching soccer, and she knows nothing about soccer.
That's not true. She's played with us on midnight at times.
But, I mean, they're just going out and doing a bunch of service projects. And it's a two-week thing, so she's halfway through it right now.
Okay.
So this next, all of the next week, they go and they walk through downtown and talk with people and help out with
That's with the church that she attends when she's down at college. And she's come home on different weekends, and I've got the chance to talk to her in Sunday school. I'm excited about her church.
Yeah.
I really, really am. And not only that, she is too. She gets home and she'll talk all about it. I want us to be like that. Now, we're never going to be as large as them, but somehow we need to reach beyond our walls. I don't know how it all takes place, but there just has to be more. Thoughts, anything you all have. I know, it's so weird, isn't it? Karen goes, I got a loud enough voice. It's not for us, it's for Tim. Because there are people who are not here today who I am trying to get to listen to this so that they'll know what we've thought of and what we've said.
If you want the community to know that it's from Richmond Community, I mean, is that an important factor? Do you want us to get T-shirts that say so? A Quaker church near our house cleans up. They keep a road clean, and they have a sign that the Department of Transportation has it. This road, but there's a Quaker church that keeps the road clean by our house. Mm-hmm. Adopt a road, yeah, and so you know that Friends Christian Church is right up the road because they're keeping that road clean. Anyway, I don't know. It's not like advertising. It's a service project, but at the same time, you still see their... Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. And yes, it's an adopt a highway, adopt the road. It's gone on for a while, and they put a sign up if you do it. Personally, I don't care. It's going to come out wrong. I don't care if people know that we're from Richmond Community Church. Somehow they, down the line, they'll figure that out. When I've gone around to the doors, I have to add validity to who I am. And so I tell the people, I'm from Richmond Community Church, give them my name, and they're really gracious about it. But if you can do somebody, you don't have to put a tag, well, I'm a Christian, I'm doing a Christian. See, I want to be more than that.
But I just wondered if you wanted us to have, like uniformity to us?
We may get to that point. Like I said, I haven't fleshed it all out. I just know, last time I spoke about Reach the World, I just said, there's got to be more than this. And the response I'm getting from some people, we have to do more. For years and years and years, we've lived in this community. Our building has been here. So much so that I had Kelly check on a house that was on the market so that I could move into this neighborhood. Now I can't. There's no way I can afford it. But I'm wheeling other ideas and stuff like that. It's two blocks that way. I do know that. But the parsonage actually gets more use than the office. And you could turn the office into one because the parsonage is much more valuable as a ministry house. And anything that's done in the office could be moved over there, and then you have a house that is possible. And I have thought about it. And I still think about it. If we're saying we want to reach this community, somehow we have to be committed to it. And we have to do it somehow. Otherwise, let's close shop and go somewhere else. I'm not ready to do that. So what do? We get garbage bags and we walk up and down the streets on Sunday mornings and pick up the garbage, and somebody says, hey, why are you doing that? Well, we attend the church there and we feel it's important to reach out to our community. Willa May, you have a really concerned look on your face. You okay? All right. I am anxious to hear from you all. We're not going to do a closing song. Kelly, you're off the hook. She was all set. I said, maybe we won't. Because I'm serious about this. I really am. And I'd love to hear from you all. Where you're at. Maybe some thoughts that you have, because the different ideas that you have, different things you could do. The school, Richmond School. Many of you may not know this, that a little over a week ago, somebody tried to burn the school down. They had a fire in there, and they've got a bunch of this stuff pulled out. The school is locked up. Usually, you'll go by and you'll see people out there with their dogs running around and kids playing in there. They're going to have it locked up probably till the middle of July as they're investigating and they're trying to repair things and take care of things. And so I told them, is there anything we can do to help you? Now, helping them may be as simple as, some of you know, it's a Japanese immersion school. I think it'd be a great thing for Kirsten to do because she actually went to school there and started learning Japanese and doing some of that. But it may be as simple as going in there and buying them a bunch of kickballs. Or scrubbing walls, if that's what. But see, there are little things that we can do. Now, some of you, granted, you're not going to be able to go out, or you don't want to necessarily go out to people's houses or the streets. We do need people who will stay here. So on the 22nd, the first time we do this, July 22nd, if there are people who don't go out, I want as many to go out as we can get out, but there'll be some who will stay here. You can be prayer warriors, and you can be praying for us. Now, here's the hook to it all. And it's really not a hook, but it's what we've talked about. What we're going to do after we go out, whether it's up and down the Hawthorne Street and passing out food or picking up garbage on the streets or going to somebody's house and mowing the yard or doing whatever it is. Trustees, another thought. the house, Carruthers' house. The garage roof desperately needs to be redone. Why not get a few people to re-roof that house on that day? You could have it done in 2 or 3 hours easy. You're meeting in about a half hour or 45 minutes or something. See, and then not only that, as we do that, there's a lady who lives in a house right next to us. And so if we're going to go around and volunteer to help at other people's, our church should be taken care of. And many of you, as you're walking around, you may look at the yard and think, man, our yard is looking good. We have somebody who is spending a lot of time working on the yard and cleaning the yard and doing all kinds of things. And doing that. I'll get back to where I was. Sorry. July 22nd. They're all getting tired up here. You're going to like this part. July 22nd, after we go out and do whatever it is we're doing, we're going to gather back here as a family and have a meal together. What will it be? I'm not positive yet. We'll get something worked up. What? It's going to be something with rice. It could very well be something with rice. You never know. And we'll do that. And then we'll be able to sit around and fellowship with each other. Maybe even share some of the stories, some of the things that God has been doing. And we'll see where it goes from there. That's it. I did nothing on my last two pages. Douglas is going, you're not even close, right, Douglas? He's got the whole thing there, and it's not even close. That's what I'm proposing to do. If we are serious about this, let's find a way to reach out to our community. Now, you may know somebody who's not even in this community somewhere else. If we can truly help somebody, if they're in the Portland area, it's good with me. One last chance. Anybody? Any thoughts, any questions, comments? Yes, Mark.
The thought I was having was that a lot of times people think that, well, God hasn't called me to do this or do that. I don't have that gift. But God calls us all to reach out to those in need. Jesus was the best example as a servant. So we all can do something, whether we're not real physical or not. Everyone can do something. Uh-huh. I'm sure there's a lot of elderly people in the neighborhood that are by themselves that need someone to visit with them, spend time with them.
Yeah.
There's many things. And I'm sure once you get to know somebody, you'll find out things they need have done.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people are proud and don't want to ask for help.
Yeah.
You got to keep asking, what can I do?
God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. That is correct. A story. There's a church that is actually kind of doing this already. It's a small home church, and they've been doing the Meals on Wheels. And they go into this lady's house, and they're talking with her, and the lady has trouble hearing them, and week after week after week, you know, it's a little bit of a struggle. Come to find out that she has a hearing aid, but she doesn't use it because she can't afford to buy a battery for that hearing aid. So you know what they did? The next time they went back there, they brought her a battery. Now they have good time talking. See, it's little things. It doesn't have to be these great big grand things. It can be little things. Anyone else? Mark would gladly run the microphone over to you.
Every weekend, I take lunches out to the street. I'm up to about 20 lunches now every week. And you just don't know how much needs out there. There's so many people, and I went out this yesterday, in fact. And I handed out something like 20 lunches in about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And this is on this Hawthorne. I didn't even get a chance to go to 82nd, which I usually do as well. I go to Hawthorne, 82nd, and 92nd, and I go all over. But I felt like I didn't have enough lunches.
Yeah.
And it was sad to see so many people out there that are in need for food and clothing and stuff. But the bright side of it is there was a lot of people there that needed some spiritual healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God every day for that. That he gives me the opportunity every week, and I've been doing this for like 11, 12 years now. thing God ever did is He called me to help the people on the street. And a lot of you don't, sometimes don't realize all the stuff that you go through to get all the lunches made up and spend the time, just the time, to be with the people. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's so rewarding that you see happy faces on the people. So, in the lunches, I want to say one thing is that we do put a piece of paper in the lunches that says that if you're in any need at all, you can contact Richmond Community Church and they will help you out. So it's not like we're advertising Richmond,
mm-hmm.
but what we're letting them know, there are places you can go to get help.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's a calling for me. Help serve the people.
Yeah.
Keep answering the call then. He's ready to get rid of the microphone whenever he can, Mark. I'm going to quote Barb last time I spoke, who is a lady who's full of wisdom. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I'm sure she didn't come up with it, but it was a really cool thing. And that's what it is. We have to do something, whether it's doing sack lunches or clean up on the streets or going and visiting. There's a care home down there and other places. Going and doing something. Any other comments? Anything else?
We used to periodically ask for donations to HeartWork.
Mm-hmm.
I think our biggest need is men's clothing.
Okay.
And that's clothing that you can't use anymore, and it's torn and stained and all that, but we try to give out the best because that's what God gives mm-hmm. away. So men's clothing is the least amount in that room. It's mostly all women's clothing, and it's mostly men that come in that need change of clothes weekly. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has anything on a regular basis, please bring it.
Socks included. So, Richmond Community Church, let's stop talking about what we can do. And let's get out and do something. Let's pray.